Hello, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse Live. I'm Aaron Moret, along with Michael Moret, and today we're continuing our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 13 today, starting in verse 18. How are you doing today, Dad?
I'm doing really well, and enjoying the summer, right?
Yeah, it's been very, very nice lately, very warm, and something to enjoy, that's for sure.
The only thing we're missing are thunderstorms, because I know we both like thunderstorms, and we haven't had a good one, it seems like, for a couple of years, at least.
Yeah. Well, maybe eventually. Patience.
Yeah. Well, let's begin with prayer and encourage our listeners to grab a Bible if they have not already and open it up to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And as you said, we'll be picking it up in verse 18. So, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I'm going to go back and begin reading in verse 13, because Jesus says, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Verse 18, "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me." And that was the scripture that is about to be fulfilled. "He that eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me." Talking, of course, about Judas. And we see from this that Jesus knew that Judas was in the process of betraying him. And Jesus didn't stop it, because he was going to use it for our good. You see, God, some people think that God should step in and violate a person's free will, freedom of choice to do bad things, but that's not how things are designed to operate. Adam and Eve were given a free will. Cain was given a free will when he killed Abel. I mean, that's just the way it is. God did not create robots. He created human beings in his image and his likeness, which means they are free moral agents. And so Jesus didn't stop Judas because he was going to use it for our good. And that's something to remember. God only allows the evil that he intends to use for our long-term spiritual good.
Yeah, and on the flip side, too, you look at how many opportunities Jesus gave Judas to repent and to hear the truth and to change his mind about what he was going to do, because Jesus knew the whole time that Judas was going to betray him, and Jesus still let him stick around, still let him listen to his teaching and be with the rest of the group. And not only that, Jesus also gave him plenty of opportunities to think about what he was doing. And that's how God is with all of us. He's very patient, will try to nudge us out of doing the wrong thing. But like you said, God doesn't take control and force people to do something either good or bad. He leaves it up to them. But at the same time, he's only going to let it go on for so long, too.
That's true. Verse 19, Jesus says, "Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he." So it's kind of neat that Jesus told his men at this time that one of them was going to betray him. And so that when it did happen, then they will know that he knew. And Judas, he was slick. He would have made a good salesman, you know, a slick-talking snake oil salesman. He could sell you anything. But Judas wasn't slick enough to pull a fast one on Christ. And he's letting everybody know that he knows.
Yeah, and that's something you can take comfort in, too, is that Yeah, you could just take you and I and all of our listeners and put us in the same position that Jesus' apostles and disciples are in here, and just imagine that as being you, and then having God on your side, just like Jesus was on their side, and like he's on our side, and just know that nothing ever takes him by surprise, nothing ever blindsides him. He always knows what's coming, you know, and you get somebody slick or whatever, like Judas, who knows how to manipulate things or could sell you anything or has bad intentions, and there's a lot of naive people out there, and people like Judas are a few steps ahead of those naive people, but mm-hmm. God is always a few steps ahead of those slick people, too, like Judas. I mean, God was way ahead of Judas. You know, God knew the day that Judas was born what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's just good to know that nothing ever takes God by surprise. You know, there's plenty of bad things that happen in life, and I think the most devastating things most of the time are ones that you don't see coming, whereas if you can prepare for something, you know what's going to happen. It's somewhat more comforting just because you know how you're going to handle it, or you know it's coming, so you can brace yourself for it. And Jesus never caught off guard, and that, I think, too, is where it's important to put your trust in God. That even though you know you can't see everything that's going to happen in your life in the future, you know that God can, and you know that he's on your side, so you can sit back, relax, just as if you did see what was going to happen. And in any situation, you don't have to be caught off guard, and you don't have to feel, you shouldn't feel like you're caught off guard, because God is on your side, and he's never caught off guard. And hopefully that makes sense.
It makes sense. I mean, it should help us if we really believe that, and it will help us if we're close to Jesus. You know, everything boils down to being close to Jesus. It really does. And if you are close to Jesus, then you'll have peace before any bad things happen. You'll be able to trust that he's in control. Okay? And then after it happens, you may be blasted like a boxer taking a shot to the head. Your knees might start to buckle a little bit, but you'll be able to shake it off, because you'll know Christ well enough to know that he saw it coming, and you can trust him, and that's what you're saying, right?
Right, yeah, and like you've said before, too, that the time to get close to Jesus is not when something bad happens in your life. It's because at that point, something bad happens that already hits you off guard, it knocks you over, and then on top of worrying about that, you have to scramble to try to get close to Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, whereas You gotta build your foundation with Jesus in the good times, or any time, I mean any time, but you think about it this way, build your foundation with Jesus in the good times so that when the bad times come, you already have that solid foundation.
Yeah, it's like the story he told about the wise man who built his house upon a rock. And that's talking about the fact that a wise man has a strong relationship with Christ. And the winds came, and the storms blew, and all that kind of stuff, and the rain fell, and the floods, but it didn't knock the house down. And he's just saying, because he had prepared, because his relationship with Jesus was strong, you know. So when the bad times came, he didn't crumble to pieces.
Right, and the thing is, I'm gonna kind of make an extreme example, but I think it's a good way to illustrate what we're talking about right here. Is, you know, sometimes when bad things happen, you may not even have the opportunity. Because getting close to Jesus takes time and it takes effort.
Mm-hmm.
So when a bad time comes, you may not even have the opportunity to do it. And like I said, this could be an extreme example. But here, you know, on D-Day, on the beaches of Normandy in France, if you were one of those soldiers going there, okay, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you really wanted to get close to Jesus, you know, just, I mean, you obviously, if somebody was not saved and they wanted to get saved there, they mm-hmm. could.
Right.
But nobody had time, if they had not been close to Jesus, to be close to him once they're jumping off those ships and getting shot at. You don't have time.
No.
You literally do not have time to do it. Whereas somebody who's been getting close to Jesus for the last, you know, 10 years, 8 years before they went there, they were set. Yeah. They didn't have time to get any closer to Jesus, maybe, but they already were close to him to begin with. And you know, like I said, it's that has nothing to do with salvation. We're just talking about a solid foundation and a relationship with Jesus. It's not about being saved versus unsaved. I mean, it doesn't. I don't even know if it takes a half a second to get saved. Probably not. But as far as a solid foundation with Jesus goes, and being close to him and having strength to get through things. You know, there's a difference, because somebody who just becomes a Christian, if you just become a Christian in the bad times, which you could do, you're not going to have the strength as a Christian who's been a Christian for a long time. There's different strengths of Christians.
That's right.
And it all depends how long you've been a Christian, but not always, because it also depends what you do within that time that you've been a Christian. There you'd be a Christian who's been a Christian for 40 years and really saved.
Right.
Really saved, but somebody who's been a Christian for 10 years is a stronger one than you, because they've dedicated more time to it.
That's right. Yeah, you get what you pay for, right? And whatever effort you put into something, that's what you get out of it. And that's the way it goes with us in Christ, too.
Yeah, and you've been talking about that on Sunday mornings with the book of Proverbs. We've been going mm-hmm. through that and just talking about needing to work, you know, work at it, mm-hmm. at learning from God's word and praying for it. You know, like the example you gave, sometimes you open up your Bible and you're reading it and it's just like you're not getting anything out of it. It just looks like words, and you gotta start praying. Then you just gotta pray hard, and you gotta keep praying and praying and praying, and then open it up again. And it's always different. It's always better.
You bet.
It's always better at that point. And even if you're reading it, here's something I've experienced too. That if you're reading it, sometimes you start. Oh, I read three chapters here, and you know, it's just like it's all going right over my head, and you know, nothing's really sinking in.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just gotta just keep reading too.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep reading. Just determine, I'm going to keep reading. I don't care if it's 40 chapters here in a row that I read, but I'm going to keep reading until this stuff starts sinking in. And it does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, praying is good. And if somebody has good worship music, whether it's one of the older hymns, good, solid hymn, or even a more contemporary song, but it has to be worshipful. It gets you focused on Jesus. Music also prepares us for the Word of God, and that'll strengthen then your relationship too with Christ. It'll really help. Well, verse 20, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receives whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me." So we were talking before we went on the air of how some evangelicals, many, many evangelicals, water down the truth and compromise, even with Islam now. The top evangelical in the country has signed an agreement with Islam, with Muslims, that we should no longer proselyte them and we serve the same God. What a bunch of trash. But there's so many evangelicals in the world today, or at least in America, who water down the truth so that no one gets upset at them. And so they can come across looking so loving and so open-minded and so modern and all this stuff. Wrong, wrong attitude. Instead, will you look at what the Bible teaches right here? If people get upset at you for speaking and living the truth of God's holy word, will you keep in mind that they are not rejecting you? You are not the issue. Sorry, but you're not. I am not the issue. If somebody rejects me for speaking the truth, so what? I'm not the issue. They're not really rejecting me anyway. They're rejecting the one who I represent, and that's Jesus. And that's what he's talking about here. As Christians, we are here to give people a choice to either accept and serve Christ or reject him. That's why we are here. And if you can't preach, help us to get out the word of God, or help somebody to get out the word. But, you know, that can't happen unless the truth is spoken clearly. And boy, do we need a huge dose of truth, biblical truth, in this country, because it's sure being watered down.
Well, and here's the thing, too, is that Jesus says that he that receives whoever he sends receives him, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so let's talk about you and I and Christians, right? People that Jesus sends out.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
That's why it's important for a Christian to represent the real Jesus.
That's right.
And be on the same page as the real Jesus, because the people that you were talking about who are, you know, what did you say the Christian and Muslim thing is?
Yeah.
What is that called?
The
mixture of Christian.
Chrislam, it's called.
Oh, okay. Chrislam. Very good.
What in the world is Chrislam? Lord, help us.
That's, I don't know. But anyone who receives that is not receiving Jesus, because Jesus didn't send it. So to be effective for Jesus, you got to be on the same page as him. Okay? And that's the same reason why it's like he says at the end of the verse, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. Well, why would it be that somebody received Jesus is also receiving the Father? Because they're one and the same. There is no difference between the two. If you can look at Jesus and say, hey, I like this guy, I love this guy is good, then by default, you're also saying the same thing about the Father.
That's right.
Because there's not a lick of difference between the two. So point is, as you look at the first half of the verse, then for Christians, you have to be like Jesus.
That's right.
So that they can receive the real Jesus. And you got these other people running around here, like the people you just mentioned, or we were talking before too about, you know, the other ways that people who can't claim to be Christians try to draw the world in by creating a fake Jesus, a Jesus not according to the Bible, a God who does not condemn sins and doesn't judge and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not giving anyone a chance to receive Jesus.
Not
you're giving
person.
Them a chance to receive your own made-up version of Jesus. That's what it is. But that's the thing. Jesus doesn't say he that receives whoever I send receives a variation of me. It says
that's
me.
Right.
Me. You can underline the word me in verse 20 where Jesus is talking about himself. Me. Okay, so if I'm explaining myself and I say me, what do I mean?
I mean me.
That not there's only one me.
If I'm going to represent you to somebody, I better represent you accurately.
100% accurately.
Or I'm not representing you. And these people who are trying to combine Islam and Christianity, and I'm not talking about extreme liberal denominations who have long ago left the Word of God. I'm talking about evangelicals, even the top evangelical leader in this country, who claims to be Bible believing. Oh, we're just supposed to be loving. Don't you know that we're supposed to be? Yeah, you're going to love them all the way to hell if you're afraid to tell them what Jesus said. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You think they'd say that to them? No way, because that offends them. So they just let them go merrily on their way, thinking that all is fine, and they end up in hell, and they never even receive a chance to receive Christ. They never even hear a chance to receive Christ. And yet the real Jesus said, I haven't come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword.
And the other thing is, too, that people should keep in mind is that even if you haven't signed this piece of paper, anyone who supports anything, who supports a church like that, is on the hook for it, too.
You bet. Your money is going to support them.
Including our listeners, if there are any.
Yep.
Anyone who does anything to support something like that is accountable for that.
You are accountable. You're going to stand before God and give account for every buck that you spend and who you support.
There's a lot of people, there's a lot of teachers out there. I'm not just talking about me and you. I'm just in general, take a look. There's a lot of teachers out there in the world that are teaching the Word of God the way that it should be taught.
Yep.
Okay? And those are the ones Because to receive Jesus, there's only one Jesus. There's no other variations of him. There's not one where Jesus is half Muslim and half Christian. There is none. It's just him. And, you know, and you know, one of the things, too, I was thinking before is that, well, you know, we were talking about, you mentioned that if you were going to go out and you were going to represent me, that you better do it accurately.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now there may be some of our listeners who are real, genuine Christians who maybe don't know the Word of God that great, so they're afraid of misrepresenting Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That they say, well, I'd like to represent him. Okay, I'd like to be sent by him and to bring people to him. But I don't want to misrepresent Jesus because maybe I don't know enough. But the simplest thing to do is just to give them the message about Jesus.
That's right.
That he's the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that you have to repent and receive him. What Jesus taught for, you know, in addition to all the healings and stuff, that's the message that Jesus taught.
That's right. Keep it simple.
Right. And if nothing else, hey, and you know what else you could do too, if you don't feel like you know enough, and if you ever get in a, you know, I know you like try to help people out too, that, you know, with especially some of the things happening in this country where, you know, people try to debate you on issues concerning the Bible, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever get stuck and you don't know what to say, like if you feel like you're arguing with somebody about the Word of God or something that the Word of God says, and you feel like they've got you stuck and you don't have a comeback,
mm-hmm.
you do something really simple. Just tell them to read the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them to get a Bible. And that's you representing Jesus too, because you're pushing them to read it.
That's right.
So if nothing else, you have that. And which is probably the best thing to do. I mean, it's good to be able to, and you should read it too, so that you know more.
Right.
But they'd be better off, way better off, just opening up the Bible if they're interested.
If they're
interested. And reading it for themselves rather than you explaining it to them.
Mm-hmm.
If they have questions, let them come back and ask you.
Mm.
Yeah. And hopefully you know the answer to their questions.
And if you don't, give us a call.
If you don't, yeah. Call, yeah.
Or email us. We'll give you the phone number and email address at the end of the program. I love questions. I'm always willing to answer questions. I know you would be too. Verse 21, Jesus said, "He that has my commandments and keeps them," look at that, "he it is that loves me."
I think you're reading a different verse 21 than I have.
You are right. Then Jesus, when Jesus had said this, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." I was reading from the wrong chapter that time.
That's okay.
It is a real kick in the head when someone you trust uses you. And uses your trust to hurt you. Betrayal hurt Christ as much as it hurt us. Probably we've all been betrayed by someone that you maybe put your trust in. You swore you could go to your grave trusting that person, but it turns out that you were wrong. That stings. That happens to you, always remember, you can take that to Christ too, because one of his best friends betrayed him. You know?
And he knows what it feels like.
That's right.
You know, and
if you don't think that hurt him, even though he knew it in advance, there was at some point where he first understood it. Whenever it was, he hurt.
Yep.
I'll guarantee you he hurt.
Yep. And on top of that, it never talks about it, but you know, you think about him being hurt by something like that, and that's not the only example. The Bible doesn't say it, but how do you think he felt when the rest of his best friends took off? When he got arrested?
And of course, he knew that was going to happen too. But there was a point where he, as a man, understood it, and that hurt him then. Right. I'm sure it did.
Right. Yeah. And yeah. And that's you know, one of the things that we talk about, how God is revealed through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that can really appreciate about God, is that he's not emotionless.
That's right.
God's not emotionless. God gets his feelings hurt. God is sad by things. He's angry by things. He's, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, the same emotions outside of sinful emotions that we have, outside of anything sinful, he's got them.
Let me give you, take this opportunity to give you the definition of a person. Sometimes, you know, I say, what's the definition of a person? Well, you got to have a body. No. The definition of a person is this. A person has mind, emotion, and will. That is a person. You have a mind, you have emotions, and you have will. When we talk about God being one God in three persons, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father, you can see it all through Scripture. They all have a mind, they think, they reason, they have volition, they have emotions, and they have a will. So that's a person. And God is a person just like us, only, as you said, without sin.
Yeah, and, you know, I suppose, too, you go back to Genesis where God says, let us make man in our image.
That's it. You hit it right there.
But like you were saying, you're back to your original points. Good reminder in general that God knows everything that
you're going through.
He knows what it feels like, the feeling of rejection. You know, he knows that one very well.
The
feeling of disobedience against him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the flip side is true, too, because, you know, it's easy to make God feel bad, okay?
Yeah.
But, hey, but as Christians, you have an opportunity, too, you know, to make God feel good. Because when you know, for example, you just take a human being, when you know somebody loves you and cares about you, it makes you feel good.
You know, and I think that's so important. One of the first prayers I pray every single morning, I go to the scripture verse by verse website, and I just check to see how many people logged in or you know, went on the website. And when I see the number, I always pray the same thing. Lord, I pray that every single one of these hits resulted in Jesus being honored, Jesus being appreciated, Jesus being loved, Jesus being cared for, you know, all about Jesus. And then I immediately pray, and I pray that everybody who comes to the website today, that it'll accomplish the same thing. And because that's so important, you know, and we can not only strive to do that in ourselves, but we can pray that it'll happen, you know, through others as well. And that shows you how much you care about Christ. Do we have time? I don't know how much time we got left.
We got about a minute left. So maybe you should give out our information.
All right. Well, we'll stop here at verse 21. And yeah, if the Word of God has blessed you today, and not just this radio program, but Scripture verse by verse television, the internet, which I spoke of, that is the flagship of this ministry, the Scripture verse by verse website. You have everything you need there to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, because you can study the entire Bible, not book by book or chapter by chapter, but verse by verse. Every single verse from Genesis through Revelation is there. You can study it using my audio Bible commentaries. That website has got everything you need. So if the Word of God has blessed you today or through the website or whatever, let me just say, ask you to prayerfully consider blessing us back, because your prayers and your financial support are greatly appreciated. And our address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. Again, Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. And that website address is thebibleversebyverse.com. That's thebibleversebyverse.com. And our telephone number?
You have time for that in the email address.
715-845-8298, 715-845-8298. and verse by verse at live.com. See you next week.